I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo. As the store's owner, I want our clients treated with respect. I want our employees to have extensive product knowledge and be genuinely engaged with our clients. Our pricing is competitive, but our client attention is second to none. When considering a new car, consider Cherry Hill Volvo. Contact me directly. Relationships really do matter to us.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo. Our team thanks you for downloading the Rich Scioli podcast. Relationships matter to all of us. At Cherry Hill Volvo, we will work to gain your trust, your confidence, and in turn, develop a relationship with you, the Rich Scioli listener.
Let me first say, you know, this show is here for you. I mean, truly, you know, the show's here for you. This is we want to be here as a resource for you, first and foremost, beyond anything else. Give you the updates of the day, let you vent, have a place for you to come and talk without a doubt. Give you the news of the day. The news of the day is always changing. And the show goes where the show goes because this is a based on the current events of the day, obviously. You know, we all kind of have woken up in this new time zone. I think it was Susie, our buddy Susie on Twitter, who posted this wonderful meme, which I thought was so great. She said, who knew when we changed our clocks forward into standard daylight time, you know, the standard daylight zone, that we were actually turning our clocks into the twilight zone? You know, everything changed. It was almost like that Saturday night. I remember this too, because that Saturday night I went to dinner with a bunch of my friends. We were supposed to have it this dinner. Had to cancel it. Last minute, had to cancel it. Had this nice dinner plan my wife plans for me. And, you know, I regret that now because I think to myself, that was like a chance I had to see people that I probably won't see anymore. You know what I mean? Like, that was like a chance. So instead what we did was we just had a little, you know, at the house, my wife and the kids, we just kind of hung out and everything, got some pizzas and relaxed and, you know, had a little fun. Next day, I went over and saw Dr. Maz, hung out a little bit. You know, we were talking about this whole virus thing and, you know, no big deal. We didn't think it was any big deal. Went over, saw another buddy. We were hanging out at his house. Didn't think it was a big deal. The stuff you take for granted, right? Like, I mean, if I could go back and do that dinner again, you know, if I could just go back and do that again, I would, in a heartbeat, I wouldn't cancel it. I would just go back. So it reminds me of the time that it's August of 2001. So I'm working in the governor's office. I was doing communications. We were down there. It was the 100-year, they're signing a 100-year lease of the World Trade Center between New York and New Jersey, the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey. So we're down there, and we're signing, the governors are signing this. It was Pataki and Don DeFrancesco, who was my boss, who took over after Christine Todd Whitman, that turncoat, went to the Department of Environmental Protection Agency. And I'm talking to all the Port Authority cops. You have to remember, my dad is a retired Port Authority lieutenant, so I know a lot of those guys. Those guys were like family to me. I'm talking to a lot of them. And, you know, one of them said to me, and I remember, too, the security that day was unbelievable. I remember remarking on it. There was no texting back then, so it wasn't like I could text my dad and be like, Dad, you know. But I remember you couldn't really do much. But one of the cops said to me, hey, come on up. Let's go up to the observation deck. And I said, you know what? Listen, I'll come back. I'm here all the time. It's no big deal. I got to run. It was August. You know, a couple weeks later, obviously, the world changed. You just never know. That's really a lesson that I continue to be amazed at in my life. You just never know. These things that you take for granted, you know, a dinner with your friends, you go, well, you know what, this weekend doesn't work. Let's do it next weekend. Going to the top of the observation deck, that doesn't work. Let's do it next time. These things that you take for granted, you know, and all of a sudden life changes. And life changes in such a dramatic way. The little thing of not going up to the top of the World Trade Center deck, something my dad took me to a bunch of times when he was assigned to the World Trade Center as a Port Authority cop, a detail he absolutely hated, by the way. He loved working at the bus terminal in New York. He hated doing the World Trade Center. But obviously, he would go back there after 9/11 to do the recovery effort at Ground Zero, which is one of the reasons why his lungs, I so worry about him because of his, as all those guys down there did, they have lots of health problems. And one of the reasons I worry about them, particularly with coronavirus, is how susceptible they are with to lung infections, you know? But I keep thinking about that. You know, I keep thinking about that in the sense of, and that moment is in my mind. It's so fresh in my mind. There's these moments in life, right, where you're just, they're so ingrained in your mind. You can see them. It's like they just happened seconds ago. And that moment, I'm telling you, is right there. It's a beautiful day. It was a beautiful sunny day in August down in Lower Manhattan. And it was beautiful. There was no humidity. We were outside. We're talking. Coming to the observation deck. It's all right. I've done it before. I'll do it again. No big deal. And it very much reminds me of the past weekend. It was my birthday weekend, and my wife plans this dinner. And I said, "Honey, you know what? I got too much going on. We got the Mark Levin event that day. Let's just hold off, and we'll do it another time." And you know, life is an ever-changing, and you can't predict. And it's just very funny how things all of a sudden, like on a dime, change. None of us that weekend, as we changed our clocks forward, could have ever thought we'd wake up in a week to this place where we're all essentially quarantined. The kids are not going back to school. Don't kid yourselves. Kids are not going back to school. This is not going to be, as much as I want to be optimistic and believe that we can open a lot of things by Easter, you know as well as I do, these governors are not opening things by Easter. You know this. It's not, they're talking about second waves of spreads happening and that sort of thing. This is going to be our new reality for quite some time now. It's going to be a long period of time for this, and we got to deal with that. And I guess it's... I guess for you, maybe you're feeling this way. I feel this way, too. I think about my kids in the sense of what they're going to grow up and learn from. And I think my job with a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old is to make life the most fun and normal it can possibly be for them. But I'll tell you the truth. Kids feel it, too. Kids feel it, too. I mean, we feel it as adults, obviously. And we're going freaking stir crazy. I see some of the memes on Twitter and social media, and I see it, you know, my friends, we text, and I'm sure you do the same thing. And, you know, the whole idea of being in your house, and you're locked inside, so to speak, because you really can't go anywhere. It's a rainy day. Where are you going to go, right? You can't go to the mall. You can't go to a movie. You can't go to dinner. So you really are stuck inside. It's really a quarantine. They don't want to call it that, but it really is. And so we feel all this stress. The kids feel it too. They're not, all of a sudden their friends have disappeared. I mean, imagine that from a perspective of my son, right? 5 years old, and my daughter, 3. All of a sudden their friends are disappeared. There's no play dates. There's no preschool. There's no, none of that. And I got to give their teachers enormous credit. They have been doing an amazing job of trying to organize for them these virtual play dates, and they're doing a great job of it. Virtual exercise classes, unbelievable. I mean, hat tip to them. And I don't want to say the schools because there's too many nuts out there, so you understand for privacy purposes, but they know who they are, and they're doing a great job. But unbelievable how they're setting up the, and we're lucky, you know, we really are. We're lucky that we live in this day and age of technology. I can only imagine what it must have been like for people when they didn't have classes in schools in other periods of time during, say, the polio epidemic, when they shut schools down, pools down and everything. And the kids were literally stuck inside with nothing to do. And there was no Netflix back then. There was no video games back then. It was, you know, 1950s. There was nothing to do. But they've been trying to put on these virtual classes, and it's been great. And my kids get very excited by that. They turn around and they're playing. Yesterday I took some videos of Patrick and Claire doing this gym class thing, you know, their teacher, Patrick's teacher, organized for them. It was great. But I could feel the stress for them. Yesterday we had dinner after I did the 5 o'clock hour, which I love doing. I really do. And it's so nice to connect with you again in an afternoon drive. And I appreciate you allowing me to hang out with you for that hour every afternoon. It's really nice. And it's a good respite for me, too. It really is a good break for me to come on the air again at 5 o'clock. It's very nice to be back with good friends in the afternoon. It's almost for me like I'm getting out of the house in some way. So after that's over at 6 o'clock, I go inside. I start, you know, hanging out with the family. And the kids are just off the wall. I mean, they're off the wall running around. It was rainy yesterday, as you know. It's cold, and they're off the wall running around. And my poor wife is 37 weeks pregnant. She's stressed out. And I just said to her, "Honey," I said, "they're feeling it too. You know, they're feeling it too. They don't know how to react to this. This is all new to them. They don't know what's going on. All they know is one day they woke up and there's no more school and there's no more friends and there's no play dates and they're stuck inside and they don't know what to do. And they're trying, and they can't verbalize it and communicate it the way we can, and they're just trying to understand. And my son, you know, at first I thought it was a joke when he would say, "Stop saying quarantine." But I made a comment last night about, well, we'll make this quarantine as fun as possible. And he said, "Dad, stop saying that word quarantine." And I could tell he was really stressed by it, you know, as a five-year-old. I could feel that with him. And I said, "I'm sorry, buddy. I didn't mean to say quarantine. I just meant to say, you know, we're just hanging out at the house. We're just having a staycation. That's all it is, a staycation." But I could feel it. And obviously, when the sun's out, if the sun's out today where it's a beautiful day, we're going to be outside playing, it's going to be a different scenario, and we go for a walk. But it's also weird when we go for a walk and we see our friends or we see people and we have to keep 6 feet away. And we have to say to them, "All right, guys, you know, keep your distance from people that we normally would go over and pet their dogs and hang out and say hello and even some cases hug people and stuff like that." That's also incredibly strange for the kids. And they don't know what's going on. And I explained to them that there is a virus out there, and they also, for kids, they don't really understand what that is. And so I'm trying to do it in a way that doesn't freak them out. But I also, they hear about things. With their dad being a talk show host and the show being on in the house, and also with television having to be on sometimes so I can get the news, they hear the word. I can't put them in a bubble in that respect. I'm trying to do it in a way that doesn't freak them out. But at the same time, virus is kind of a scary word, right? You're a kid. You hear that word. It's kind of scary. So I'm doing my best with that. But I just have to tell you, that was just an observation I had last night. They're bouncing off the walls. And they're great kids. They're such good kids. I am so blessed with these two kids. What a miracle. I mean, I think back to the day that the doctor said that I had terrible sperm quality. And yet, I was so sad by that. And then these two beautiful children come to our life by way of adoption. And made me the luckiest, most blessed guy in the world. And now, suddenly, by some other miracle, maybe because I lost 25 pounds or whatever it is by Nutrisystem and fasting, we're having a biological child. So that brings me to another thing I wanted to bring up. I have an idea that I wanted to run by you. I would think I should name the baby after the pandemic, and I wanted to run some names by you guys. What do you think of this? How about naming the baby Demi for pandemic, Demi for short?
Oh, well, I like the name Demi.
Demi Zioli?
No.
That's cute.
And I could turn around and go, "Come on, Demi." I mean, Demi's a beautiful name. Yeah, we named her after the pandemic of 2020. What do you think?
No.
I got shot down last night, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Listen. You can see that?
Listen to your wife.
So I also say, what about Pam? Like pandemic? Pam-demic?
What happened to Olivia? I thought that the kids wanted to name the baby Olivia.
I don't. I told you. That's working title.
Okay. I know.
He did. That's a working title.
He's going with something here, Dawn.
No, I know, but Olivia, well, because it still is baby Olivia for the purposes of the production, you know, but when the movie is released, it may change. But I'm just saying, I think having something that rings, because I can't name her baby Wuhan. I mean, that's crazy, you know what I mean?
It has a ring to it, though. Wuhan Zioli.
Wuhan Zioli. It's very, very multicultural.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what's going on in our house. And Bridget went to the hospital yesterday. See, the baby was a little bit underweight when they did some tests. So because of that, and because of my wife is, she's older in terms of, I mean, she's not like old, but you know, anytime a woman's over, what is it, like 30 or something, they all freak out, right? Yeah,
once you are, I think it's over 34 years old.
35. It's 35.
Is it 35?
30? They act like you're 60. I swear to God.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
It's like all of a sudden, dun, dun, dun. And
yep.
So if you talk to the experts, what they tell you is we all have a genetic age. This is real. So it depends on your genetics. It depends on if you've done like crack your whole life or drank or smoked.
See, my wife did do crack her whole life.
Okay.
No, that's not true.
I found her. She's a crack whore. I found that's how I met her. I saved her from a crack house.
So her genetic age is probably like 30, 31.
Yeah.
So there is such a thing as a genetic age, and that's pretty cool. We do have some control over our health in that regard.
But they act as if, you
they
know,
do.
Anything, I mean, it's a matter of, they go, well, because of your age, we have to take this
yes.
seriously.
Yep.
Her blood pressure could be 1 point over. They go, well, but because of your age. So she's got to go to the hospital every week to monitor the baby. And so yesterday she wore... Now, obviously, it's Cooper Hospital, right? So yeah. Maz would is taking great care of us, and he would let us know if there's any issues. And you walk in, and they take your temperature. Nobody's allowed in unless you have an appointment, and they're only taking appointments if it's something very, very important and serious. But she wore a mask and glasses, by the way, Dawn, so because it gets in the eye.
So the droplets can't
right.
you know, protect the eyes.
Gloves, and went upstairs and kept it on the whole time, and then, you know, Purell'd her hands, did all the stuff, came home, took her clothes off, took a shower, and then, you know, I washed the clothes today. We've taken every precaution possible because here's the thing. If she gets coronavirus, I can't be with her for 2 weeks. And this drives me freaking crazy, this whole two-week thing. It's not even an option. It's not even like, well, you sir, would you like to risk getting coronavirus and be with your wife? I can't be with her. That's a rule. That's a state rule. So let's say she has the baby. She can't be with the baby for 2 weeks if she has coronavirus because of this whole what do they call it? quarantine thing. So when I tell you that we are taking every precaution, I had good friends yesterday who are self-quarantining for the purposes of helping us with the baby. Wonderful
Aww.
People, our friends Barb and Jim, who we met on our Ireland trip. They're wonderful people. They are self-quarantining for the purposes of helping us. And they said, why don't we get together this weekend? And I said, I can't risk it. I just can't because we can't. The two-week isolation thing, and I know it sounds crazy. It's extreme, and I get it. But... the thought of my wife being in the hospital, right, delivering birth to our daughter, and then my wife can't be with the daughter with her baby for 2 weeks because she has coronavirus. Oh my God! Can you imagine a worse scenario, Dawn?
No.
Right?
No, I don't understand that because I would think that if you were nursing, that the mother's milk would give some, you know what I mean, would help that out with the immune system. So I don't really. I think you'd probably fight that.
Yeah, well, I would
yeah.
fight it. But the problem is that jerk governor would purposely, you know, say no just because it's me.
You don't know that.
That guy's a jerk.
No.
He hates me. That's the problem. All his people coming after me now.
He See doesn't that? Hate you. The
no, Jersey, go get him. No, Jersey, all my little Twitter minions, go get him. The Zeoli Army fights back, though. Oh, my God. The Zeoli Army, the greatest people in the world. They just fight back.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.